I've been playing outdoors since I was a kid, standing by the front door at around 2 years old, hollering, "Side, side," trying to get my mom to let me go play outside. Now, after 30-plus years working in the outdoor business, I'm dropping insider conversations every week with brand leaders, guides, marketers, CEOs, and others that make the outdoor business a trillion-dollar juggernaut that drives product innovation, revenue, and public policy for everything outdoors. I'm Rick Sayes. Welcome to the Outdoor Biz Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Cruise Radio is brought to you in part by TripInsurance.com. Travel insurance done right by the people who know travel insurance. Get a quote today at TripInsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, what's up? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Very happy to have you here, my friend. Don't forget to check out our Cruise Radio news on Facebook. Just type in Cruise Radio news, and come join our Facebook group. All right. We always like to get your reviews here on the show. If you have one you'd like to share, shoot me an email, doug@cruiseradio.net. Like Howard, him and his family just returned from a seven-night Caribbean sailing aboard Carnival Glory out of Port Miami, and he's on the line this evening. How's it going, Howard?
Doing great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show and sharing your experience about Carnival Glory. Now, before we get to the ship, let's take a step back and let's talk about why did you want to sail on Carnival Glory?
Well, originally, we were scheduled to go on the Carnival Dream, almost the same date, but 2 weeks after we booked, that cruise was canceled because it made it into a Journeys cruise. Mm-hmm. So instead of going out of New Orleans, round trip 7 day, we went from New Orleans to San Juan, 11th day, so we got canceled. But also, we wanted to make sure we did something for my son's fall break.
Yeah, okay.
And being in Arizona, we'd take our breaks a little bit differently than the East Coast, and so it was a perfect opportunity, and we saw that Glory was a couple ports we'd never been to, and so we definitely wanted to hit those. And still stay within the same time frame.
Very nice. So you're based over in Arizona. So, of course, you had to get to Miami. Logistically, how did you get there?
We flew actually 2 days early. As I mentioned to you before in a couple of blogs, we'd like to get there a couple days early. And just in case there's any hurricane traffic, where the port might have to be changed, so forth. So we're not there nice and early. But also, if nothing happens, we've got a couple of great days on the beach out there, too.
Yeah, very cool. So getting to Port Miami, how was embarkation for you?
Embarkation was excellent. Really no need for a fast of the fun because Port of Miami is so efficient in processing passengers. Mm-hmm. And so we're through security checkpoint and into the queuing for the other lines, and it was so quick and easy.
Nice.
We just walked up into each one.
Very cool. Now, how fast would you say it was from curbside to whenever you walked on the ship?
We got there early, so we got there about 10:45. It wasn't until about 11:45 we actually got on the ship.
Okay, gotcha. Very nice. And what were your first impressions when you boarded Carnival Glory?
It was a very nice ship. We've been on a Carnival Conquest before, so same layout, mm-hmm. and both were post 2.0 conversions. We had gone on the Conquest under 2.0. We had seen the Grand Ocean View room, the 345-square-foot room with the side-by-side windows. That was on the Conquest, but we had a nice 8D room right underneath the bridge wing on Deck 7. Mm-hmm. So very, very quiet. And that was still a very impressive ship. It does show a little bit of aging. There's areas that definitely need to be repainted or carpeting that had to be replaced. And so they were doing that ongoing throughout. So they're definitely always maintaining the ships, and everything else was perfect on it.
Let's go back to your stateroom. You had a scenic ocean view, you said. Yeah. Paint that picture for us. Like, what's the difference between a regular ocean view and a scenic ocean view?
Yeah, the scenic ocean view is actually the Conquest one we did right after dry docking in 2012. But the scenic ocean view was one of the new rooms they built right above the bridge.
Okay.
So they had the captain suites, then they had four different scenic grand ocean views. The one on the outside, they had 2 8-foot-wide floor-to-ceiling windows that had electric blinds that would come down.
Nice.
But the room itself was 345 square feet. Huge room compared to the other rooms.
Nice. Yeah, very cool. I like that. Dining aboard Carnival Glory, like you mentioned, it had underwent Funship 2.0, I think, like in late 2012, I think, or maybe early 13. As far as the food goes, as the Lido Deck area, Guy's Burger Joint, all of that, how was the food for you?
Yeah, food is excellent. We did notice that there are some cutbacks we've done.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, they no longer have the Tandoor Station, the Mongolia Walk, and the Sushi Cart. So those are definitely ones that we missed and that we would have, of course, like to see again. Mm-hmm. But Guy's Burgers was great. Louis Gone on Tantina always had the steak and shrimp burritos. And also for breakfast, we had the breakfast burritos. But the other hidden gem on that ship is going upstairs to Deck 10. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know about that area, but it's nice and spacious there. And they have a lot of great fish and chip meals, fried oysters, ceviche, octopus salad, things like that. So it was definitely a nice, quiet area away from everything else. And especially on embarkation day, it's a great area to get to and not have to worry about where you're going to sit with everything, with all your luggage and everything.
I do love that area up there. I'm a huge fan of their like fish and chips. And I think it's like a tuna and watermelon type salad they have up there.
Yes.
That's really good as well.
And like,
yeah, like you mentioned, no one knows about that area up there. So that makes it even 10 times better. They don't normally start finding out about the whole secret Deck 10 area until about halfway through the cruise. So you get to...
And we, because I knew about it from both of our cruises on the Conquest class ships, we left there immediately and had pretty much the entire deck to ourselves.
Yeah, that's so cool. How about the main dining room? What kind of dining did you have? What dining time?
We had early dining. We were in the Platinum Dining right next to a window, so it was nice and quiet and calm right there. And we had the family table, our American table each night, except for the elegant night when they were making the American feast.
Right.
They did away with the tablecloths except for the elegant nights. But always we have great meals there.
What was your favorite meal you had in there?
The steak and lobster, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But I always had a seafood dish every night.
You got lucky because you were on a 7-night sailing, so you got to have the steak and lobster, or the lobster rather. On my sailing on Sunshine, it was a 5-night, so they dropped that. Not good.
Right. One of the other things is, because it's also a Sousset Sea, you also have the green eggs and ham breakfast for the kids too, and that was a lot of fun.
That's like, what is that, $5 per person?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And all the characters come down, the cruise director comes down, lots of pictures, and then they make the meal. Itself, they will have green eggs and ham.
Oh, that's awesome. It's like since it's such a nominal fee at $5 per person, did you feel it was worth the value?
Oh, absolutely. And it's pretty much the same meal you get with Sea Day brunch, but they really dressed it up for the Sousset Sea, so my son loved it.
Nice. And speaking of your son, did he do Camp Carnival at all?
He did. I went up there a couple different days, and he really enjoyed it. This sailing was kind of an off sailing. They had very few kids on board, so less than 300 for the entire sailing.
Wow.
And so they combined a couple of the age groups together. And so he had plenty of counselors working with them and all kinds of activities going on.
Nice. And how about as far as the entertainment goes around the ship with the Playlist Productions and the Hasbro, the game show, and the venues around the ship? What did you think of all that?
I really thought they really improved, especially on the Playlist Productions. We saw the Latinized Motown and also the Epic Rock, and both were incredible.
Epic Rock is by far my favorite.
And I didn't know how much having the digital walls would really enhance it and not taking away the live band, but I really enjoy what they've done with it now, and that they've had a couple of years to enhance it.
I do like it because, you know, the old stage shows were, like the Vegas Reviews, were 45 minutes, and now they shrunk these down to like 25 to 30-minute shows. So it's really quick and fast, and you're not sitting there getting anxious, you know?
Exactly. And one of the other things they do is they'll incorporate that live stage show with what's going on in the atrium. So at the end of the show, they'll have basically a parade out to the atrium, and the carnival band will be playing a lot of the same music, and then they'll kind of transition to that, and the dancers will still be singing everything in the atrium as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. How about, did you check out any comedians or piano bars or anything like that?
Been to the piano bar of comedians this cruise, but we have in the past.
Yeah.
And, we've always had a great time doing that.
Cool. Let's talk about the day at sea. How did the ship handle at sea as far as passenger flow by the pool and inside the ship?
We spent a lot of time out on the pool, and you could always find a chair, no problem there. The ship handled very smoothly because we were behind the hurricane. Waters were very calm.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we found out that we were going to lose Half Moon Key as we were boarding the ship. So even the staff didn't even know that they were losing that port. So he had to come up with a lot of activities on the fly. And so, we were disappointed about losing Half Moon Key, but an extra few days, especially because we had a balcony on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
We really enjoyed the extra day to just relax.
How were the dining venues on the Sea Days? Because I know like Guy's Burger Joint is super popular, and so is the Blue Iguana Cantina. Like, was there crazy lines there, or did there seem to be a decent flow?
That throw was excellent. Didn't have to wait more than 5-8 minutes.
Oh, okay. That's not bad at all. And as far as the guy's burgers, are you a fan?
Absolutely. But you kind of need to take maybe 3, maybe 4 during the week, because otherwise you just feel too heavy afterward.
Yeah, yeah.
So even though I hit the gym almost every day and stayed away from the elevators, it's going to weigh heavy. So I made sure I ate at all the other venues as well.
Yeah, definitely. You have to have a balance there. What ports did you hit on this sailing?
Of course, we missed the Half Moon Cay, but we did hit St. Thomas, and that was the secret area we kind of found also. By not going to Megan's Bay or Cokie Beach or some of the other more popular beaches, I have a friend who I used to get military with who lives out there now. He took us over to Secret Harbor.
Oh, nice.
And just an absolute great area, great snorkeling. And it wasn't until mid-afternoon that some of the taxi drivers were taking people from the other ships. Now, we were also, in addition to having the sunshine there with us, we had the Norwegian Getaway and also the Oasis of the Seas. We had a lot of people there at the same time.
Is the beach you went to, was it very popular? Like, is it like a Megan's Bay where there's just tons of people there, or was it actually pretty nice and not really populated with cruise passengers?
It's really nice, more for the locals. And,
awesome.
But it's actually a resort there. It's a Secret Harbor Resort.
Okay.
A nice restaurant there.
Nice. Was your weather nice there as well?
We had great weather throughout. Oh. And so lots of sun, no wind.
What other port did you hit?
We hit, after that, we hit San Juan. We just basically did the shopping there, and then went to Varentina for our pina coladas. And, that was mostly just a shopping port.
Yeah.
And then after that, we hit Grand Turk, and that was a great sea day, a great beach day there.
Yeah.
And we did Jack Shack.
Of course, you have to. Everybody loves Jack Shack.
And play with the dog up in the surf, everything.
That dog is like probably the most photographed dog. I think his name's Topher, the little, Labradoodle?
Yes. I think it's a golden doodle, but a great, really nice disposition. And he loves having people come up there and pet him.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty funny there. So in closing here, do you have any first-time tips for people who may be considering Carnival Glory?
Yes, absolutely. Get there early on the ship to enjoy the ship and be trampled by everyone else so you can kind of find your way around. Mm-hmm. Don't try to do everything at once. And then also a couple of the secret areas. There's actually a secret pool in the gym area. A lot of people don't know that. The Serenity deck is 2 levels up front.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the deck 10 that we talked about earlier, having a nice quiet lunch there at the fishing ship.
Nice. And your final thoughts of Carnival Glory?
It was a great, great time. The cruise director, Mike Pack, was incredible. Being my son was autistic. He took a lot of time working with them, and even got him up on the stage and was playing the rockers with the Latin trio.
Nice. Very cool.
And he was everywhere, and it was just a really fun time.
We've been talking with Howard. He just returned from a 7-night sailing aboard Carnival Glory out of Port Miami down into the Eastern Caribbean. Howard, thanks for being on the show, my friend, and great talking to you.
You too, and I'll talk to you again soon.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer, if you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you a peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer 3 different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Hear Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, or at cruiseradio.net. For sales and marketing opportunities, email sales@cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
Life's better with American Family Insurance. Because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.